What is up, guys? This is Via the Source. I am Steven Masso. We got some breaking news today, guys. It's pretty crazy. First things first, though, today is Monday, March 26th, and this episode is again sponsored by On the Bleachers, All Sports, All Day. Now, getting straight into it, Ndamukong Suh has finally found his team, and it is the Los Angeles Rams. He found a one-year deal, $14 million contract, and this makes it basically the scariest defensive line I can remember in recent history, just with the addition of Ndamukong Suh and pairing him with Aaron Donald, who is coming off a tremendous season, Defensive Player of the Year. This is going to be an absolute crazy pairing. I can't even begin to imagine how this is going to work out for, you know, a bunch of the teams going up against him. Because if you think about it, Aaron Donald is basically what Ndamukong Suh was back in Detroit, maybe even better than that. So this is going to be an absolute crazy pairing. The Rams are definitely making a push. The other moves they've made this offseason, they acquired Aqib Talib at cornerback, a little old, but definitely still efficient. They acquired Marcus Peters, who was kind of a headache for Kansas City, but is still one of the top cornerbacks in the league. And now they have Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh on the inside, which is absolutely crazy to think about. I can't wait to see how this is going to pan out, because for the majority of Ndamukong Suh's career, he has been double teamed. Now with Aaron Donald, who they regularly do that to, it's just, you know, they don't make enough offense alignment to pair up for that situation. This is going to be absolutely crazy. It looks like Ndamukong Suh might get his first first season with going up one-on-one against a man, which he's just going to absolutely burn through on an every down basis. This is going to be so fun to watch. But that isn't the only news with the Los Angeles Rams. They're also apparently interested in acquiring one of the top receivers in the entire league, and actually probably the most popular one in the entire NFL, and that is Odell Beckham Jr. from the New York Giants. This is all stemming from Giants owner John Mara saying that he is getting tired of Odell Beckham's antics and he doesn't want to answer questions about his behavior anymore, and that they are actually open to trading him, which is, of course, I think a little bit blown out of proportion. I think almost every NFL player is open to a trade if you offer the right things, which is basically what they're saying. But what gives this kind of an actual real possibility is that the Giants still don't seem to be in a state where they can make a real push. They have a lot of talent along the roster, but if they decide and they look at the team from within and say, hey, we're not ready, then they could definitely ship out Odell. I still think it's probably a 75% chance that the Giants will be holding on to Odell. A report came out shortly after that their main intention is to able to extend him, and I see that as being the realistic scenario. But let's look at it. If he actually does go to Los Angeles, how does that work for both teams? Well, the Giants still have Brandon Marshall, who is very, very old. So that is definitely not a bright spot for the offense. They still have Sterling Shepard, who is, I think, about as good as a slot receiver as you can find in the NFL. He is a great number two, and I think he is tremendously underrated. I really love him, but still, if you lose Odell, that's a huge hole in your offense. You're losing a generational talent, something that could potentially haunt the franchise for years, could be really polarizing with fans. And then Eli Manning has been regressing for the past few seasons. So that's basically saying to me that we're going to commit to this rebuild if they do, in fact, trade Odell. And another reason why I don't see it as likely as the media is making it out to be. But now, how would that work out for the Los Angeles Rams? Well, the Rams are coming off a really explosive season that I don't think anyone saw coming to this extent. Jared Goff completely tore it up. Todd Gurley transformed the offense and played such a huge role in that. Robert Woods outplayed all expectations, I would say. He had a tremendous season. And then Sammy Watkins really stepped up for him too as well when Robert Woods went down with the injury. But now they lost Sammy Watkins. So, of course, adding Odell, that's just a given. From an athletic side, from a physical side, that's a huge upgrade. But, and I hate to bring this up, but you also have to look at it from the mental side, you know, from the psychological. What is living in Los Angeles gonna do to Odell? Because we're talking about a guy whose behavior has been questioned. He's a celebrity. He's about as popular as you can get. And Los Angeles is a place where things can easily spiral out of control. And I hate to bring pop culture into this too much, but there was an article with Mac Miller. For those who don't know, he's a hip hop artist. He lived many years in Los Angeles, and he talked about how when he lived there, things were just so crazy. It's such a difficult life to maintain, and it's really easy to kind of lose a grip on reality. He found himself going into a depression, kind of getting lost in his own state of mind. And he talked that Los Angeles is just like a really exhausting place to live, and he had to move out. Now, I'm not saying Los Angeles is a bad place to live for the everyday person, but I'm saying that when you're a celebrity, you know, and that spotlight is on you, who knows how tough it could be living in that area. So given all that, I don't know if that's the ideal situation where you would want Odell to be in. Again, from an athletic standpoint, generational talent, incredible receiver, probably top three in my mind, but that's just a difficult situation for him psychologically. The other team that is apparently interested is the Cleveland Browns. His former teammate, Jarvis Landry, is doing a pretty good job at recruiting him, much like Odell did to Jarvis while he was in Miami, telling him to come over to the Giants. Now it's Jarvis's turn. He's saying, hey, come join me in Cleveland. I don't see this happening because I don't think the Browns will like to pay over $30 million for two receivers, and that's a lot of number one receivers on that team. Of course, Jarvis Landry was the number one receiver in Miami, and then they have Josh Gordon, who could easily become the number one receiver. We know his potential. And then they drafted Corey Coleman with the expectation that he would be the number one receiver. So that's a lot of mouths to feed. But it is interesting from the standpoint that the Browns are probably the one of few teams that have the money to be able to spend for Odell. And they have the liberty that they could potentially draft a quarterback who is a rookie. He'll be on a rookie contract. They could draft Saquon Barkley and he'll be on a rookie contract as well. So that's interesting. But I think the real team to keep an eye on here, the only one I would say that is more likely than the Rams, would be the San Francisco 49ers, just because their history with Jerry Rice and having these kind of iconic receivers. I don't see him being able to go to the Colts, who have the money to do it. That would be a good pairing with Luck, but the market's not big enough for Odell, so I don't think he would agree to something like that. So I would say for now, don't get too excited. I expect Odell to stay as a Giant. I see them working out a deal. And I would say for everyone's sanity, you should hope that they do get a deal done, because this has all the potential to be the most annoying holdout in NFL history when you combine Odell's personality and his stats, which deserve a big contract, and then the media's love for him. This could be worse than Deflategate if we have to hear about this going all the way into training camp. And he has, I think, in my mind, all right to want to sit out after we saw him almost get his career stripped of him in the preseason and then his leg completely bent under him. I wouldn't want to play with that much money on the table. He has enough money stored away from a Nike contract that he can definitely hold out and not have to worry about anything financially, which I expect him to do if they don't get a deal done. But still, that would be a very annoying headline to be seeing over and over again. So let's hope they get a deal done, guys. And the last topic of the day, Cowboys unrestricted free agent Bryce Butler has scheduled to meet with some other teams. And those teams are the Seattle Seahawks, Chicago Bears, Jacksonville Jaguars, and Arizona Cardinals. Now, I'm one of the people that I believe a lot in Bryce Butler, and I would actually rather roll with him than with Dez Bryant. Kind of crazy, I know, but that's just me, and definitely him over Terrence Williams. So I think any of these teams would definitely be getting an upgrade if they were to pick him up. Now, I don't think it's too likely Chicago makes a move. They've already made some moves at receiver, getting Allen Robinson on that big contract and then getting Taylor Gabriel from the Falcons. I don't see them too much in the mix, but if he comes cheap, hey, maybe they'll throw him a contract. I think Seattle might actually be the favorite to land Butler. They lost Paul Richardson, and I would say Butler's style and Paul Richardson's are very similar. And he would work well in Arizona, who lost two of their receivers in Jaren Brown and John Brown. That would be tremendous. And then in Jacksonville, who I just talked about, they lost Allen Robinson. Those are all teams that could use him. I think Chicago, out of these, is the least likely to get him, but we'll see how it goes. So, guys, again, if you like this, please subscribe, send a like, shoot me your opinion on Twitter. I'll respond to you. I love talking about anything NFL-related. Fins up. Guys, I am Steven Masso, and this is Via the Source.